If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings from the divine light and love of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. So, are you ready to go? Tonight our topic is taking authority over your household of consciousness. So let's start with taking a deep breath. And fully occupy your household of consciousness. Just get in it. Occupy yourself. Just yourself. Edge everything else out. But the light of the Christ. And allow him to fill and displace any lesser energy. Just invite the Christ into your household of consciousness, the pleroma of Christ, the fullness of the divine presence. Take a deep breath and fill yourself with Christ's light. And we ask the Holy Spirit to make that divine presence experiential in every single person who would like to truly understand who they are, what they are, why they're here, their divine function and purpose, what they were made to embody and to host in tabernacle, that you would release the power of the living God through each and every man, woman, and child that would receive of it. Even as this very moment you're filling the earth and pouring yourself out as a spiritual blessing and promise and invitation to every single living creature on this earth, as many as would open and receive. And we but deny ourselves when we aren't open to something greater than ourselves, something more glorious than we could conceive of with our human limited minds, something that far transcends the temporary sensual pleasures we get so attached to in the fleshly encasement. The pleasures that we have here, to the five focused into the material world senses, are far, far transcended by higher levels of those same five senses that go into the quantum universe in exponential increasements and increments of greater and greater pleasure and divine bliss. Yes, we'd have to call it ananda bliss because it goes beyond anything we could possibly mock up or experience in the physical dimension. And yet we get a foretelling and a foretasting of that every time we host the Christ and the fullness of the Divine Spirit within our tabernacle of consciousness. So let me ask you, have you ever thought of your consciousness as a house? You know, your consciousness is like your home. It's where you live, where you hang out, where you rest awareness, and where you reside in consciousness. So who is the Lord of your manor? You, as a spirit-infused, indwelt embodiment of the living God, in whom the spirit of the all that is indwells, you alone are to be the Lord of your manor. You have complete authority over whoever and whatever enters your consciousness. You are the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper, the guardian. Nothing and no one can cross your threshold unless you give it permission. Now, you can tell by how you feel what you've given entrance to in your life. Do you have a happy, light-filled, peaceful heart and mind? That is God's only will for you. You're not designed to host anything, but Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is eternal existence and truth. Chitta, or Chaitanya, is eternal, ever-expanding conscious awareness. And Anandam is all-pervasive wholeness, fullness, and the delight and bliss of that, ever-expanding. There's no limitation to the glory that inhabits you as you, but only when it is entered into the Christ consciousness and is living from the fullness of your divinely intended endowment. The human vessel was created only to serve as a transduction coil whereby the power, the glory, the authority, the mind, will, and creative consciousness of the all that is can source through you multi-dimensionally to limitless worlds yet to be created through your co-creative participation in and as and with the all that is. And you're importing that fullness incrementally into the time-space capsule that you embody as your personality, human self, right now, today, in this place. So how much of that fullness inhabits you? How much of that greater allness is able to source through your particular kiss upon the fabric of time and space? The face of God. So have you ever had dreams of a house that you were in or moving into? Did you know that in dream symbology, a house always represents where you live inside yourself? A house represents your state of consciousness. It's a very, very important, I think, to pay attention to whenever you dream of a house, you are being shown the state of your consciousness, the state you are living from and in. So pay attention. Look at the condition of the house when you have a dream. Look at the floors. The floor is your foundation upon which you stand. Take each area of your house that you're shown and interpret it by the function that it serves. For example, you stand on the floor, right? So that is a symbol of your understanding, your foundation, your underfooting, or that which is underfoot. One time I went to a New Age gathering, Mount Shasta. And I dreamed that the woman that was speaking, that was actually hosting me at the time, that there were these serpents under all around her where she was standing, partially covered with the dirt. And that represented, in symbology, the deception that was in that environment. It was full of deception, of lying spirits that were trying to dissuade people from getting involved in the truth and hosting the Holy Spirit. It was the symbol of the spirits, the many, many spirits that war for the hearts and minds of humanity and that inhabit the lower dimensional spheres of the Earth's astral, causal, and mental bodies. And so I was forewarned, to be careful. And you will notice that you always have a warning. If you're attuned to the Holy Spirit, you always have a forewarning of areas where the dark energy is trying to insert itself, trying to gain entrance into your household of consciousness in some way. So curiosity and interest is what opens doors and grants entrance into the door of your household of consciousness. Then it tries to build a stronghold through increasing your fascination. And then it seduces you gradually until it creates a very strong habit or attraction which keeps you in and engaging with that particular energetic. That's the process. It's very, very seductive. It's often called a fatal attraction. So take note of those things that particularly fascinate you. Fascination is not of your spirit. Your divine spirit is not fascinated with earthly phenomena or psychic phenomena. It has no interest in phenomena. It's interested in life, and that more abundant. So, know that each room that may be shown in a dream would symbolize, depending upon whatever purpose that room serves, it would specify an area that you may be working in. The bedroom, of course, is where you rest and sleep. And it can indicate also areas where you may be asleep. The bathroom is where you release, refresh, and cleanse yourself. It can symbolize purification or the need for that. Your kitchen is where you prepare food to nourish yourself. And what are you preparing and feeding yourself? Heat and fire and cooking can also refer to that are being prepared, activated, and purified to carry more of the holy fire of the Spirit. Fire can also symbolize initiation and entering deeper into the fire. It says in the scriptures that God is a consuming fire. Everything that is not of that same divine effulgent nature is consumed by the fires. That's why when a very bright spirit comes into an area, say, for example, in the inner planes, on the astral or mental planes or causal plane, the very, very fire would start as a little spark in the center of one's heart and begins to expand until finally you are a flame of fire. You look like a fire, a flame, moving in the inner realms. And you actually burn the dark entities. They can't come near you. They fry to a little crispy critters, just like on the periphery of those insect electronic devices that fry the insects when they try to get too close to that energy. So it says in the scriptures about you as a minister, my ministers are a flame of fire. That's how God regards you as a minister, as a server. You are a flame of fire. So the windows obviously let in light and fresh air, hopefully. The doors, of course, as we've been speaking of, give entrance to whatever and whomever you admit into your house. Now, very few of us would feel very comfortable living in a house with our doors left wide open. However, very few people, even people who are, supposedly quite aware, give a second thought to what they allow to enter the household of consciousness. You know, everything we read, watch on TV, listen to, believe, approve of, and focus our attention upon has literally entered our household of consciousness. Moreover, it has left an impression upon our mind and a groove in our brain. Very interesting. Wow. Think about that, will you? Everything you allow to influence you and to enter your consciousness now lives in your house with you. Now do you see why the price of freedom is eternal vigilance? So we must learn to practice and exercise conscious discernment and selectivity in what we entertain, host, and keep company with. This applies to thoughts, beliefs, influences, people, even objects. Everything is energy that attracts a like energy. Like attracts more of the same into your life and household of consciousness. You know, today next Monday is Halloween. Used to be a very fun holiday, I remember. When I was a child, it didn't have any of the dark associations, evil associations. It was quite innocent. But each year it seems now it's getting more and more dark, more and more demonic imagery, and death and ugliness, seems to be portrayed. And, you know, the TV program now is full of horror movies and hauntings and the paranormal activities of dark entities and things of this nature. And, you know, when we keep company with that kind of imagery, it becomes something in our household. So, what to do? Well, you have divine authority. You have authority, divine authority. You know, people pray all the time, but very few people teach you how to operate and speak the word out of divine authority. So let me start with asking you a few questions. Do you have any deep-seated reoccurring fears? Do you have nightmares, unpleasant dreams with dark imagery, or any kind of oppressive or depressive sense of foreboding? Do you know that none of that is ever of God? All of that is fear, which we have many times defined as false evidence appearing real. But this false evidence appearing real, i.e. fear, has torment. So it is not of God. God never brings torment upon your mind or any level of your being. The scriptures state that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and a sane mind. A sane mind is a peaceful mind, a mind that is filled with the thoughts of remembrance of Jesus and the works that he did. Why? Because it's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only gives witness to all that Jesus did and taught and teaches still. Yes, that's the only purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk about other spirits. The Holy Spirit only gives your attention, focus, and direction into the things of the Christ. Interesting, huh? Very different when you're operating under the Holy Spirit. So, just check a moment and see if you are tormented by any kind of dark or negative thoughts. Or do you suffer from panic attacks? Or do you ever have thoughts or an urge to harm yourself or another? Or do you have any addictive patterns that seem to control you and force you to do things that you know are self-destructive or harmful to others? Do you ever feel negative influence or an evil presence watching you or following you? You know, when I lived in Sedona, Arizona, I always felt like something was watching me. I was always afraid to go to sleep at night. In fact, I lived with some people, and whenever they were out of town, I would turn all of the lights in the house out on, and I would stay awake until dawn, and as soon as the sun would come up, I'd go to sleep. And now, since I'm living where I'm living now, in the high mountain deserts of Southern California, I never, ever think about things like that. I never have any sense of foreboding. I never feel fearful about going to sleep. Granted, I'm in a kind of a different consciousness now, but nevertheless, it's interesting how that one area, I always felt that foreboding. Interesting. There's supposed to be some negative alien basis there, so that may be part of the situation. That's like a black and white tableau you have there. You have the negatives and you have the positive forces there. Very much in constant conflict, apparently. So those of you that are interested in extraterrestrial things, have you ever been abducted by an alien and examined against your will? It's very important. I have never in my whole life had an alien abduction. I have never, ever even seen a negative alien. I have never, ever had any kind of experience about that at all. In fact, I very rarely, almost never, ever have any kind of an alien dream. I don't believe it's necessary. The Ashtar Galactic Command works with you in the soul levels, which are usually totally unconscious for most people. We aren't the ones that try to fascinate you with phenomena. We don't want you looking to us as gods or your saviors or your fixer-uppers for the messes that you make on Earth. We're not interested in drawing attention to who we are or what we do. We're interested in drawing your attention Godward, to who God is, to what Christ is, and to what the divine power wants to be and do through you. So naturally, we don't want to waste your time focusing upon those of us who are simply your elder brothers and sisters. A little bit longer, you know, out there in the galaxy. But we come in as friends to inspire and to uplift and to mentor and to give some hopefully useful information. but not to fascinate and entrain you, and to looking up into the sky from some deus ex machina, some divine machine, to lift you out of your miseries and your mess. That's not our function. Although we've been portrayed that way. Unfortunately, we've been portrayed that way for many, many decades. Hopefully in our weekly seminars, now going into our fifth year, you'll have a deeper understanding of what we're all about. And we're not about disempowering you to follow anything outside of yourself, or to listen to spirits that murmur and peep from the astral plane through some medium or psychic. We want you to host the living word of the living God and be the prophetic oracles of that word through the gift of the Holy Spirit that will use you to speak the heart, mind, will, and power and authority of God into this time-space once you're all connected in and emptied out of all of your folly and foolishness so that you can be useful in serving your true function. You're meant to be the literal image of the living God in time and space, exactly like Jesus Christ is and was. Yeah, that's your dharma, that's your dance, that's your divine commission. So, have you opened the door to the dark side, including negative aliens, through practices forbidden in the Bible? You probably don't even know what they are because you probably never read the Bible. They're listed in the book of Deuteronomy, around chapter 28, 18 to 28, lurking in there somewhere. You'll find a list of things forbidden in the Bible, such as divination, fortune-telling, astrology, psychic readings, channeling, using Ouija boards, that's not mentioned, but that would be implied, practicing as a medium where you allow discarnate spirits to speak through you, delving into the occult, the dark and the dark practices of sorcery or witchcraft or sexual magic, or calling up the dead, which would be practicing seances, using hallucinogenic drugs, which is actually the root meaning of the word sorcery, reading books on the above subjects, or watching such things on TV would bring you also that influence and open the door for more of that in your consciousness. All of these things that we've mentioned, you see, are Satan's imitation to distract you from hosting the Holy Spirit and speaking directly by the inspiration of God. Instead, Satan wants you to listen to spirits, disincarnated or extraterrestrial spirits, but not the whole Holy Spirit. So, in today's world, I think very, very few people could honestly say that no, they've never had any involvement with that list that I just mentioned. Most of us have been exposed to some, if not every single one of those things to some degree, even if only indirectly through television or films. However, even a tiny opening into the dark side often takes that lid off that Pandora's box of absolute misery for so many people. And once they get into that, they don't know how to get out because there's not very many people out there teaching that. That's why I do have to address it occasionally in these seminars, because I may be one of the very few in the New Age that actually speaks about this stuff. So you can pretty much tell if you have a problem, because you'll be tormented by negativity and dark moods and imagery. And there's very, very good news of you, for you, if you find yourself in this category, because getting free is so easy. Number one, you must turn your life fully over to Jesus the Christ. Only His name, power, and authority has dominion over the dark side. No other spirits really have dominion, because only He came to break off the chains of bondage and to set the captives free, which was everybody on the planet. Everyone that came under the fall and bought into this counterfeit creation, this counterfeit version of creation, came under the domination of Satan and was in captivity until Jesus came and paid the price to set you free with His own blood. But you have to accept that. You have to accept the gift. Otherwise, you're not aware of it. Of course, unless somebody tells you about it, you're not aware of it. So I'm telling you about it, so you'll be aware of it. And you can make that choice to completely receive the gift of freedom and salvation, what Jesus came to give you. And you do that by repenting for your involvement in these dark things. You really ask God to forgive you, because, you know, most of us do that through ignorance, right? Who would really choose the dark side if we really knew what we were doing? But we become entrained and seduced and fascinated. And that's how we get sucked into that stuff. So you repent and you say, God, I am so sorry. I ask to be forgiven. Save me. You know, wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. Get me out of this mess. And you renounce every single unholy alliance you've ever formed with the dark side through any kind of practice, consciously or unconsciously. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse and save and protect and deliver you from darkness. The blood of Jesus is your greatest protection from the dark side and its servitors. So the war that we have for our household of consciousness is really not waged with flesh and blood people in this dimension. It's with spirits and principalities and regents and rulers in the lower heavens of the astral, mental, and causal realms. Those would be the realms of distortion and illusion that humanity is actually conditioned through his misidentification with less than his divine self. These are places that mankind has actually moved into as extenuations of his household of consciousness on Earth and inhabited these lower realms. And this is where the dark energies hang out, where you're in your ignorance and your falsehood and your ego self, which is just a playground for the dark agents. So it's getting close to Halloween, and going to have a lot of practice this week to watch what you open your doors to. It's going to be really interesting. You know, the dark ones know that their time is really, really short. We're right in the midst of this wonderful dimensional shift, and they so cannot go where you're going, and they're so jealous. It's not their time yet. They haven't made those choices. So what you do, if you've had any of the things I've been talking about, is this. This is what you say, or words to this effect. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of fear, panic, oppression, or whatever it is, and you name it here, whatever it is. I cast it out of my mind and my life. I close the door to you forever, and I seal it shut with the blood of Jesus. That's it. You take authority, you cast it out, you close the door, and you seal it forever with the blood of Jesus. If you have a sense that you may be suffering from a curse, you can use a very similar practice. I take authority over all curses, verbal or intended, against me, my household, or any of my loved ones, and over every dark influence. I renounce every unholy alliance I've ever formed. I break all evil soul ties. I close every door to the occult and to Satan and to his realms of darkness. I seal all of these doors shut for eternity in the name, power, authority, and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's it. You do not have to suffer a minute more. I have had quite a few people contact me through the years that have been really suffering from alien abductions and all kinds of things that they have inadvertently opened the door to. Not a single one of those people would be what we would call born again or saved. None of them had invited Jesus into their household of consciousness. So that may be the major reason why they had suffered for so many years under this torment. And I don't think anyone ever before had told them how they could get free. So these are things to be aware of, not to dwell on, but just to be aware of and to use your wisdom and what you invite into your house. You know, the I believe statements are very, very powerful when you state them with regard to Jesus. For example, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe, Jesus, that you came to the earth and lived a perfect life. I believe, Jesus, that you came to deliver me from the bondage of darkness and evil and to set me free. I believe that you came to give me eternal life. I believe that you will come and live in my heart and give me a new life and a new heart and a new spirit if I invite you. And this is what I want. So I am inviting you into my heart right now. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I believe that you will teach me everything that you want me to know. And I believe that your Holy Spirit will reveal to me the mysteries of the cosmos, all of the secret things hidden in the heart and mind of God. I believe God will reveal to me as I ask him and seek him and offer my life to serve him. And I believe that I am saved. I believe that I am redeemed by the blood of the Savior. I believe I have a new life and am born again. You know, those are very, very powerful statements. If you start repeating things like that in the night when you feel frightened, I can guarantee you, you'll start flaming like a holy fire and everything that's of a lower vibration is going to depart your presence really fast. You know, another thing, in cleaning your household of consciousness, you also need to clean and clear your physical house and get rid of anything of an occult nature. This would be jewelry, pictures, idols, books, Ask Jesus if he approves of whatever it is you have in your house that you may have a question about. And if it feels unclean, it is unclean. In fact, those things I found have an unclean spirit attached to them. They actually have a stench. Those of you who develop very, very clear discernment in the Holy Spirit will be able to smell an unclean spirit, whether it's in a person's aura or in their environment. Certain things, you know, just even when I was a child, I had that spirit of discernment that I, you know, was very, very developed in me from a young age. I think because I spent some time in a convent where, you know, the focus was very spiritual. And after a while, you just really prefer that sweet, clean, pure, and wholesome energy that you come to associate with people who are living a wholesome and clean spiritual life. There's just a different energy with them. So the best way to get rid of unholy objects or occult objects is, of course, by burning. But sometimes that's not practical or you can't do that. So shredding them is another way. But just destroy whatever it is so that it won't be left where it will pollute or negatively influence or harm anyone else. And if you're already a born-again Christian but somehow backslid and got involved in dark subjects, know that nothing evil can possess you. It can only influence you. So possession is never your problem, but obsession with those who would like to possess you, if they could, but they can't because the Holy Spirit's inside you, all you need to do is repent and plead the blood of Jesus over your life, your mind, whatever it is that you've gotten involved with, and step free through grace. Price has already been paid, and you know, it's very simple to return to the joy of your salvation. I hope these things are useful for you. I think it's so very important to understand energy and the sanctity of your own unique consciousness. I find that many people in the world, don't have a sense of continuity between who they are as a human being and the connections they have that link them eternally with God. There's a divine continuity of energy that extends into you from the all that is. And the difference is between a person who has consciously chosen that and become, quote, born again, is that they have opened the door for that by their conscious permission and want to consciously experience that connection. Whereas someone who hasn't made that choice, they feel a block. You know, they don't feel that relationship, that reciprocal energy of the ongoing presence of God moving in and through them. They don't have that same reality or that same experience. It's quite interesting to note. I can't imagine what it would feel like to not have that sense of context for life. That there is a divine plan. That there are worlds beyond this dimension, mansion realms. Jesus called them the many mansions of the Father. And you know what's really interesting is that people who have had near-death experiences, some of them have come back reporting that they had found, or they were shown by an angel or whoever was serving as their heavenly tour guide, they were actually shown the house that had been prepared for them when they leave this physical world and go on into the heaven worlds. And they were really surprised because the house was exactly the kind of architecture they most loved. The landscaping was exactly what they would have most preferred. Even the furnishings and the coloring and the fabrics and everything, in the house was exactly to their preference. And the angel would always remark, you know, when the person would go, wow. Well, of course, God knows. God knows what you like. God made you with the very preferences and the tastes and the inclinations that you have towards the things that are really beautiful and wholesome and uplifting. Those are always God's impressions into your consciousness. Everything that is good and pure and wholesome and of good report and noble and that builds you up in your spiritual strength, all of that is given you by God. Another thing that's important for you to remember that was revealed to some of these people in their near-death experience is that once you're saved, your record of your old sinful nature is wiped clean. It's not recorded anywhere. None of the sins or mistakes that you commit that we do, you know, because it's the fallen nature of the world, as long as we're here, we're going to have that element that we have to ward off and be aware of, the tendency to go back into those old things. But even when we sin as a born-again person, those sins are not recorded in the books in heaven. And one of the books that one of the men was shown, which I thought was really interesting, was called the Book of the Remembrance, the remembrances, God's remembrances of his saints. And when you're born again, you're called a saint. And all of the good and noble things that you do are recorded kind of like in a living scrapbook. It's kind of like God's scrapbook for his kids. And he stood before this, like this energy field where there were multiple doors. And he was invited to enter one of the doors. And the minute he did, he found himself in a very dank and dark dungeon. And he thought, why in the world is this in heaven? And then the angel said, look. And he pointed, and there was the Apostle Paul and his disciple, or chela, apprentice, Silas. And they were in prison where they had been beaten and thrown in this prison for preaching about Jesus. And, of course, they refused not to preach about Jesus, so they were beaten and thrown in prison quite a few times. Anyway, this was one of those times. And the scene showed Paul and Silas in the midnight hour praising God and singing in devotion to God. And that was frozen in that little vignette. And this man that was given the heavenly tour by the angel was shown that. And so that's something to remember, that God does not see your sins ever again. He sees only Jesus. Whenever he looks at you, he sees his only begotten, uniquely begotten son and daughter with whom he is greatly pleased. And everything that you do for God, every unselfish, loving thing you do for anybody is indelibly recorded in God's book of remembrance. How awesome is that? Every time you lay aside your lower self and make a choice to do something, usually something very difficult. It's difficult to lay aside the flesh and the preferences of our lower nature. Even when we're born again Christians, we still have to train our mind to come into agreement with that Christ mind, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. We have to constantly possess our promised land, which is our new life. We constantly have to import that higher nature into the choices we make every day. So even though our spirit man is completely awakened and alive and in that original perfection, it's working that new life down into our minds and our choices and our feelings and our attitudes and our speech, so that the Holy Spirit transforms us from glory to glory into the image until we conform perfectly to the image and likeness of Christ. But that is a process, and it requires our cooperation in that discipling process. We have to be discipled and taught how to follow Jesus, how to be a disciple of Jesus. Obviously, not everybody's interested in that or wants that. But then this program is not for those. It's for those of you that really want to go deeper into the true spiritual things of God, who indeed are ripe, ripe and fruits on the tree of life. And you will be moving in this ascending process. You will be moving into that immortalized, resurrected Christ body. You'll actually be metamorphosized into, divinely transfigured, into that same resurrection body like Jesus is wearing now. It's immortalized. You can still eat and drink and enjoy life, not drink alcohol, but you know what I'm saying. It's a physical body, but it's an immortalized body. It's the way your body was designed to be before the fall, when you came under the principle, but you came under the power of darkness and death. But you were restored to eternal life when you're born again. And you will inherit an immortalized body of light. It will be eternally young, around 18 to 35 years of age. Some think it's going to be like 33 because that's when Jesus left, resurrected when he was age 33. So but that doesn't matter. You'll be in your prime in a body that is perfect, that will go forth into those higher God realms where there is no tears, no pain, no sorrow, no earthquakes, no torment, no devils, no darkness, no iota of evil. It's hard to imagine, maybe. But it also says in the scriptures that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has the mind of any man conceived of what God has prepared for those who love him. Wow. We can't even imagine. And yet it's good to begin to move in your spiritual inner awareness into these deeper levels and begin to postulate and mock up what they might be like. Because the more you contemplate and image in and imagine, the more you make a consciousness connection into those fields of light. And the more you're attracted into them, drawn into them. I mean, you don't have to worry. You're going to go anyway. Jesus is going to take you. You don't even have to be, concerned about that at all. But, if you want to have a little fun and use your creative consciousness in a positive and productive way, that's not a bad thing to do. And moreover, you don't have to wait until you cross into the next dimension to live in heaven now. Heaven is a state of consciousness in which you remember your fullness in God, where you're in Christ and Christ is in you, and you know it, and you live from that, and that's your reality, and that's the important thing. Now, as you go forth into these interdimensional realms, begin to realize that you're being trained to be a Christed race, a whole race, a collective messiah, if you will, a whole race of individuals who live in Christ and Christ lives in them. It's called also the Bride of Christ, because to God, everyone in creation is the bride, is the feminine, is the Prakriti, or the receiver. God is the only bridegroom, the only male. So we're called the Bride of Christ. We're also called the Body of Christ, of which Jesus Christ is the head. That means he is the head, and we are all parts of his body designed to function together collectively in all of the ways that he functioned, but not all to the same degree, because there's different gifts. Even though there's one Holy Spirit, each one of us functions within that Holy Spirit in our own individual unique ways. one way is not greater than the other. And it doesn't matter whether you've been saved for 75 years or 5 minutes. The reward is the same, because we're not talking about time here. We're not talking about competition. We're not talking about length of time that you were saved. There's a parable about that in the Bible, where it says that the laborers that were hired early in the morning and those that came in the last hour were paid the same wages. That's basically what that means. So don't ever feel sad or like you missed out if you're hearing this information for the first time and you think, oh, wow, I blew the whole thing. I felt like that at one time myself until a very wise Christian said, oh, this earth here is just the green room. You know, it's just here to get saved. And then once you're saved, your real life really begins. And it continues when you leave this world and goes into eternity, into the greater realms of God and the greater mansion worlds of the God realms, which are open-ended, ever-expanding glory. Wow. So the bottom line is, everything you think you lose for Christ here, says in the scriptures, you'll get back a thousandfold. Whatever it seems that you have lost, or that the enemy Satan seems to have killed or robbed or destroyed for you, he has to pay back umpteen times what he took from you. Everything will be justified. Everything will be just and right and honored and balanced and perfect. You don't have to fight your battles. The Lord came to fight for you. You don't have to do anything but receive the gift and be a happy child. And allow the peace of God to be the umpire in your mind, so that you always choose with Christ. Everything that you do in your life, you choose with Christ, which is always the choice for forgiveness, the choice for love, the choice for peace, the choice for one accord. And thus you live in the unified field of the wholeness, in a level and dimension of consciousness that automatically enables you to live in heaven while you're still on earth. And that's also called soul awareness, Christ consciousness, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's an inside job. Inner transformation. So open the door to the Christ and host the Beloved. Host the whole spirit of your own holiness. And allow the Bridegroom to carry you across the threshold to your true home in the greater, unlimited, higher creations of the ever-expanding God realms. And rejoice. For the day of salvation is at hand. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting in Greek the name of Jesus, Jesu Christos. Okay? Deep breath. Jesu Christos. Jesu Christos. Jesu Christos. And you've been listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command with Commander Lady Athena. And God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Adonai.